Alright, careful, BJL.
And look at your Samlex power meter, and it will give you a readout. If you're on the mid power level, you should be putting out or pulling about 5 amps, 4 or 5 amps, which would be about 10 watts, which is pretty typical for QRP. Over.
Cool. Yeah, watching that now, and I see pulling up right at 4 amps. That's pretty cool. You know, when I was on earlier, briefly before I did my turnaround, I could hear the 640 net pretty well. I wonder if it's having a hard time getting your antenna over the mountain. What antenna setup are you using right now?
Point, I'm using the mag mount. It's up high, it's in the attic, but it's not the J-pole, so it may not quite have as much reach as that full 2 meter tape hole. But that makes sense. It could be that, and I was on high at 440, at 640 I was on high output, and then I tried medium and low, so we had all three. But it could be it's just hard for me to reach it from Greenville, a bit easier for you too.
And I think that's a little interesting because that was typically the repeater that we had easier time getting your connection through. We are having some weather up here, but I'm hearing the faults on 190 on the Mitchell repeater pretty well. So, but there is some weather that might be a difference between, and it's raining. So, if I remember correctly, that would affect it because there's probably a pressure change between their systems since it's raining. There's probably a higher atmospheric pressure up here than there is in Greenville currently, and I don't know if maybe that pressure differential is preventing your frequency from breaking through as easily, and so maybe by transmitting down to Greenville from kind of going downhill, so to speak. I don't know if it works that way, but in my mind, I feel like that could make sense.
You know, weather and just general conditions can make a difference. You know, it's amazing that playing around with HF this weekend on QRP with that 10 watts, just 10 watts, I was able to make contact in California last night, which was amazing, one of the U.S. parks over there. I mean, that's 10 watts. I mean, that's just, you know, a sixth of a light bulb. That's just amazing that you send that thing up there and it starts bouncing off the ionosphere on the HF. And once it gets up, it goes. Over.
That is amazing. That in-fed dipole that you're using, if I'm incorrect, that's for your lower band, your 10, 20, 40, 60, 80, correct? Not for the 2 meter and 70 centimeter. Have you used the J-pole at the house yet? I thought you had.
So that wire that I'm using on HF, the one I've actually, I say I made it, but that's, I mean, all you do is cut the wire exactly that length and connect it to the little Balun transformer. And so, yeah, that's an in-fed. Technically, I don't think it's a dipole. I think this is called an in-fed single wire. And so it's a full wavelength for 20 meters, 32 feet plus just a smidget. And I forgot exactly how much. So it would be twice for 10, or it would be half wavelength for 40. But I didn't have much luck with 40 or 80 with it. I could hear people, but it was a little garbled, and I'm sure they were not hearing me well. But it really was perfect for 20 meter band, and I didn't have to use a tune or anything. I just plugged it straight into that little 10 watt transceiver, and it I had a little SWR power meter that I could use, but after a while I just disconnected it because it was tuned up just right, and we were one less thing to have to pack up and go portable with. KR4BLX, over.
Interesting. And so, I'm sorry if I missed this part. So, were you saying that you'd use the J-Pole portably, but you haven't used it at your house setup yet? Is that correct?
Carrying on about the HF and forgot your J-Pole question. So, I have used the J-Pole here in Greenville, and I just hung it up. I just reached way up and hung it as high as I could reach on one of something up that was about, well, I don't know, probably 10 or 12 feet high. And it worked great. I just hung it on the shutter on the side of the house, actually. And it worked great. So I moved it up to the mountains, which is where I was this weekend. And I used it up there. But last night I was struggling with, my brain was in HF mode. And by the time I got back into getting on my little Yaesu and setting all the tone and things on it, it was great reception, particularly on the 610. On the Mount Mitchell, but I've struggled to get 610 or 640 from up there around Marion Spruce Pine. Over.
I'm not quite sure why that is. Sure, I'll take my setup next time we're going up there. So did you leave the J-Pole up there? Or you bring it back down?
I left it up there. I left that up there and a mag mount, a VHF mag mount. I brought everything else back down just to keep playing with it and tweaking it. You know, I think the other thing is that there's a big, nice oak tree right off the porch and a big limb over there. So I just ran out of time, but I'd love to throw a rope over that thing and pull that J-Pole up about 20 feet. And I'd be interested to see what it pulls then. And that's why I need a longer. My coax was 15 feet. And I probably need about 25 feet of coax, maybe 30. And then I think we can really play with it and see what it does. I left the rope up in the tree so I can just attach a carabiner to a little plastic tie on the end of the whatever we're moving and just move it up and down easily. Over.
Yeah, that would be nice to have those up there. So next time I'll just take my transceiver but leave my antenna set.
I think I learned was that, you know, I was trying to position my antenna based on how long my coax was, and so I was not able to get the optimum antenna position because I ran out of coax, and I was using QRP, so I was trying not to get too much potential line loss, but I think I need to get the antenna in the right position and then just get enough coax to make that work. From wherever I'm going to have the rig set up. So that 15-foot coax is not quite enough. Probably needs to be 25 or 30 for up there. Over.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a sweet. That's going to be a sweet setup. I'll have to get. I've got some time here coming up. I think I can probably sit down and take the test and work on getting my HF. Accessibility, and then maybe I'll get your help on finding one of these old models, one of these more analog old models to try out. I think those are pretty cool, those old cameras that you can find them. So, yeah, I'll start working on those. KR4BJL.
Yeah, the KR4BLX here. You know, just playing around with that older model, Kenwood 120 QRP 10-watt unit, just to learn. They're not that expensive to get into, and a 20-meter wire fits nicely for that 20-meter band. But it's amazing. You just turn the knobs and you tune it in. And when I turned on the Yaesu VHF last night, I mean, my brain just like... Buttons, push it, hold. I mean, it took me a minute to get back into digital thinking mode. I'm like, man, just give me that old unit with the big dial on it, and I can just dial it in where I want it. It was interesting.
Interesting. something you can't kind of feel that when you get, like you're saying, back to the gate tubes. And these are really nice how automated they are, but it also, you just have so many options, and you can get a little lost in it.
That, I mean, if you're doing big-time radio work, I mean, these new units are so nice. They're compact. They're clear. They just got a lot of nice features. But there really is something rewarding about just plugging an antenna into an old analog unit and talking to some guy in a national park in California. That reminds you of why you got into radio to begin with. But there's a role for both, and sometimes it's just hard to switch back and forth when you're still learning like I am. But, hey, tell Holly thanks for letting you spend the evening on the radio. I really appreciate it. I know you've got a lot going on, and probably a busy day tomorrow. So we'll maybe say 73s, and we'll catch up with you later, and we'll do some thinking on the antennas and the coax setup. But I think I'm definitely going to need to get a longer coax cable, and I may check with the wire man there, Lynn Landrum, and see if I can get them to help make it. I'd rather do it locally than hoard it off the internet. Over.
Me, good catching up with you. I'm glad that we were able to get this set up working. This is KR4BJL, sitting down to you.
KR4BLX, over and out.